don't know. We like to take just a moment and recognize members when they have said, we want to become a part of what you're doing here. Membership is a bit of a commitment. If you sit through the membership class, you know we're not talking about coming in and controlling your life. That's what people think when they hear membership. Membership is, we make a commitment to you and you make one to the church, to your brothers and sisters sitting around. And, you know, it is a special thing. You know, so many people today, we're living in a world of covenant partners. Wrong. This is a family. It's got members. This is a body. It has members. And, you know, I look around and I can see people, you know, they work in different areas within the church. And what that does is that gives us an arm, a finger, a pinky, a thumb. It gives us so much that we can operate, that we can do things, because we're all gifted differently. And, you know, so people say, well, I don't know what I can bring. You know, I'm not the type to go out on the street. Well, neither am I. But I'll open my mouth, and I've actually had to learn to start shutting my mouth just a little bit, because I was getting myself in conversations I didn't need to be in. And so anyhow, but the Lord has been gracious to us to have people come and say, we want to be a part of this. So Miss Cindy Chapman, if you would come up, we would like to... Hallelujah. She came last, we had a special membership meeting last Sunday, Saturday morning, and early. Yes, I will say it was early. My wife had to come wake me up. But, you know, it is a special thing, and we're so glad to have you here. And I'm going to just share something, if I may. Miss Cindy has shared from time to time. She said, I have always worried about people judging me. Well, first off, this is a judgment-free zone, and I'm going to tell you what her biggest concern is. She has narcolepsy. She said, I don't want to fall asleep in church.
And I have.
And I said, honey, you do not need to worry about that. I'm the one who sees everybody who dozes off. And I said, and I don't judge a one of them because I know their situations. And I had to tell her, I said, when I worked third shift, I got off that morning and came to church and ran the sound, and I couldn't think straight. And a couple of the mornings, thank God there was a booth, I laid down in the floor.
And
just nudge her. But, yeah, but anyhow, so, no, and no, you know, I don't say that. No, and see, and that was her biggest... That was her biggest concern. She's like, I don't, you know, it's not your mess. I said, I understand. Okay. And, you know, and we're believing God's going to heal that thing, and she don't have to worry about it. So, but Miss Cindy, welcome. Thank you very much.
Give you
a hug here. And you get a fancy certificate.
Can I say something?
Yes. And yet you stayed.
But I do appreciate everybody welcoming me, treating me like family, and except for Phil. And just basically accepting me for who I am and not what I am.
Amen. Amen.
I'm looking forward to trying to help somehow.
Amen.
And learning.
Amen.
That's why I love you too, Phil.
Amen. All right, super kids are dismissed at this time, unless there was something else I needed. Oh, well, this morning I'm supposed to greet you from Pastor Bob Montgomery. We spoke this morning and he said, greet the believers, so you are greeted from Quincy, Michigan. I spoke to him a little bit about the church in Crimea, which if you know your regions and geography, Crimea region is the lower part of the Ukraine that Russia took over. And I just asked him how the church was doing that we ministered in. And he said it's hurting. So we will be praying for that today for them. But we will be praying, I want you to pray for those churches. I know of at least two. The one was a little bigger than the other. The one I ministered in, probably an hour away, was a little smaller than the one in Armansk, which if Armansk is right at the bottleneck of the Crimea region, and a mile outside of Armansk there is a trench that was dug years ago with slaves to keep people out. There are actually machine gun emplacements and things there from World War II. I actually have a shell that had been fired, but these were put in there by the Russians. They still have all their stuff, so they have reoccupied that line, and they are keeping Ukrainians out, and Ukrainians won't let anybody from Crimea in. So Bob said it's kind of difficult to get into that region right now. He'd have to go to Moscow, fly from Moscow over to the city that has an airport in there. But so you just be praying for, you know, we look around and, you know, oh, well, things are just kind of business as usual, but it's not for everybody. Bob told me that the FSB, which is the new KGB, they bug his room when he goes. They call the pastors where he's going. They interrogate them for a month when he applies for the visa and all that. And so it's kind of daunting, but I know he believes God has told him to go there and minister, and he does it faithfully. So just be praying for them and him as well, and the churches in these regions. Because it's real easy to sit in the United States and say, well, you know, we got the Constitution. We keep it up much longer, folks. We won't even have the Constitution to stand on. So if you think voting doesn't matter, think again. And prayer matters. So, well, this morning, for some time, there's been a couple scriptures that have just really been, well, one scripture in particular, it was some words that God said. They really, I told Angela, said for a long time, they just kept haunting me. And it's when God came out into the garden and he was looking for Adam. And Adam said, I went and hid myself because I was naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? We cannot continue to ignore the truth. There's an accuser of the brethren. There is a real, very real enemy of human beings. They weren't even Christians. And yet somebody was going around telling them, you're naked. And it was the same person, the same God of this world that led them into deception. Matthew chapter 6, 24, if you'll open your Bibles there, says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either love one and hate the other. Therefore, you cannot serve God and mammon too. You cannot serve God. The word mammon, we all know, we read it, thanks, you know, to certain people that unfortunately didn't interpret every word, or I should say transliterate every word appropriately. means any treasure that you trust in. Okay? You go to a poor region and they don't have money, they don't have riches to trust in. But yet they have trust in something. Well, I got my trusty old shotgun. So they trust in their arms. We have people who trust in finances. I'll be okay, I got money. Let's be real about money, folks. Ever since we were taken off of the gold standard, for starters, our money is a piece of paper. We know the situation within the country and our government. Our money is pretty much worthless. Why we are still standing is only because of the grace of God. Because I believe the United States still is a barrier between Gog and Magog and Israel. Okay? If you think I'm kidding, just pay attention to the news. If you've been living with your head in a hole in the sand, you'll know that Russia has been doing flybys on our ships in the ocean. They've been unarmed. However, it's still an act of aggression. Why are they doing this? They are testing us. They want to see what we'll do. Because I promise you, them and Iran and some of the other countries are going to go after Israel. So we put trust in a lot of different things. We trust in our education. Well, that's great. It's good to have an education. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making fun of that. I'm not making light of any of this, but when we put our trust in, well, I've got a PhD. I've got an arsenal. I've got $1 million in the bank. I've got all this land. It can all be taken away. How many times, and it's even become a joke in many sitcoms, where people who were doctors in foreign countries, surgeons, top-class surgeons, but to escape from the ungodly rulers in their country, they had to come to this country, and they've become janitors. They've become just day laborers. They've done everything just to survive, and they could no longer trust in the fact that they were a neurosurgeon 6 months ago. So when Jesus is talking here, he says, right out of the blue, he says, nobody can serve two masters. And it is the truth. Today we are still trying to serve riches. Do I believe God wants you to have finances? Do I believe God wants you to be blessed? You better believe it. I know He does. But He does not want our trust in those things. Today so many ministries are still trusting in, well, we've got a big bank account. We've got a huge ministry. Just like that, any ministry can fall. That's how fragile things really are. But those who put their trust in the Lord, it's something different. Take it. I don't care. And I promise you, about the time you start saying, I used to say this, I started working down at a bus factory when we moved back. And as soon as I got there, I'm like, I just got there. And they start telling me, better start saving your money. We're going on strike. This place is closing. And I'm like, seriously. And so I just kept telling the one guy, I said, well, my faith is not in this company. My faith is in God. Well, 8 months later, I got the opportunity to find out where my faith was when they handed me my pink slip and they closed the doors. I ain't gonna lie, it hurt. Because I was making nearly $20 an hour straight time. And I worked every bit of overtime I could get. You can ask Angela. I wouldn't work Sundays, but I was working holidays. I was working Saturdays that I didn't have to work. Because it was really good money. what happened was my faith started getting into that company being my provider, and I didn't realize it. Trust me, the next 6 months or so, I really got to trust God as my provider, because my income went down to a third of what it was. And for some reason, 1995 decided to snow and keep snowing. And God continued to provide. He continued to open doors. He kept moving. And we kept trusting Him. We did things we didn't want to do. I took jobs I didn't care for. But I took them because they paid the bills. And so in Genesis, when God asked Adam, "Who told you?" I heard Doc Barclay make this claim one time, and I just like, "Lord, I need you to help me." He said, "Mammon is the god of this world." We automatically think, because of the way the Bible has been translated, that it's automatically riches. As I just explained to you, not everybody trusts in money. Poor people don't have money to trust in, do they? But many of the ones I know, they trust in their guns. You can have my gun when you can pry it from my cold, dead fingers. And that's also something I believe. Right now, our guns is what's keeping us free. Because it won't be long, I promise you, Islam will try to make us bow. I guess the question is, are you going to bow? You can have my head. I hear it's the quickest way to die. Take it. I will join a whole glorious rank of people. But we do not trust in finances. We do not trust in our guns. We do not trust in our abilities. Well, I'll just outsmart them. No, you won't. God says He takes foolish things and confounds the wise. Yes, there's a way you have to play the game, the world's game, isn't there? We like to gather and think, well, we don't have to do anything. Well, you still got to pay taxes, anybody? You know, you're not escaping them. You can try. But the God of this world told Adam and Eve they were naked. The simplest, most innocent thing. You're naked. Why would they care? They've been naked the whole time. Suddenly, I'm naked. But you see, the problem was they had started listening to the lies before that. Look at that fruit. Why would God keep one thing away from you? He doesn't want you to become like Him. Knowing good and evil. The word knowing typically in the Bible goes beyond just a knowledge, a head knowledge. It goes into an intimate relationship with something. Adam knew Eve, they conceived. Okay? So when we know, when we have the knowledge of good and evil, yeah, we have good knowledge. Folks, we'd have had that anyhow. You understand? It was the other side of the coin. This world, if we haven't figured it out, operates on both sides. We like to say, well, you know, I love it when people just jump out against things that they actually know absolutely nothing about, like yin and yang. I don't get into the Eastern religions. Yin and yang is just opposites. It's not yin yang. It's yin and yang. The yin yang is a person who's a ding dong. But yin and yang is male, female, black, white, positive, negative. Your body operates by positive and negative charges. There has to be positive and negative movements of your muscles in order to move. For us to know joy, we've had to know sorrow. That is the way of this world. God did not want us to have to experience the evil that was in this world. But neither was He going to let something else control something He created. So He said, I'm going to make man in my image. Man will be like me. Then I heard a song called Who Taught You How to Hate? Who? Who taught us how to hate? We're not born to hate, are we? We don't come out of the womb saying, well, you know what? You got curly hair, I hate you. You're black, I hate you. You don't look like me, I hate you. As children, we don't know that. We have to be taught to hate. Through our families, through our associations. You got brown eyes, I hate you. It's stupidity is what it is. But it's the god of this world, mammon. Things we trust in. This world is a selfish world. Everything is about us. Everything is about this world. It does what it wants. We do what we want. A lot of times we don't care about how it affects somebody else, something else. We don't think about all these things. And it gets us into trouble. And so, things come around and, oh, why did this have to happen? You know, maybe a ship owner decides he's not going to put money into repairing his ship. And he's hauling millions and millions of gallons of crude oil. Well, I'm just going to keep running that ship until it falls apart. Well, one day it falls apart in the ocean. I don't care about that ocean. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I think God's going to hold people with that stupid mentality accountable. I love this planet. It's a gorgeous planet. I say we need to learn to use the resources rightly. Your ship needs fixed, pull it and fix it. Your captains are drunk and you're not doing anything about it. We owe it, not just to us. See, this is where we get selfish. They don't affect me. You know what? What about my grandchildren who might want to go fishing or hunting? Those are things that I love. Those are things God put in man. I don't care if you like to hunt animals or not. I love people that think they can go to the grocery store and get meat without killing an animal. We need an education course for people like that. Here's your sign. But you see, this whole planet thinks about itself and itself alone. God says, trust me. I want you to trust me. I've got to come up here and get my notes. Mark chapter 10, verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. Remember, we're talking about the rich young ruler here who looked at Jesus, called him as a disciple. He only did that to so many people. And he says to this young man, go sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the man stopped and he started thinking about all the stuff he owned. And he walked away from a calling. And Jesus said, it is impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, they were like, oh, what are you talking about, Jesus? Whoa, 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 whoa. And he said, no, listen, understand me. It is very difficult for those who trust. That means to put your faith in something. If you're putting your faith in your education, I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes the smarter people think they are, the harder it is to trust God. Look at the scientists today. Look at Stephen Hawking. He had the opportunity, by the way. He had the opportunity. I watched the movie about his life. His wife left him because of his stance, partly. He said, "There's no God." He had the opportunity to recant, and he wouldn't. And he has only gotten worse. Seriously. If I end up in that situation, somewhere along the line, my brain's got to engage and say, "Hey, dummy, repent. And you will be healed." Do I believe God allowed it? Yes, I do. Because when a man of influence like that comes out and says, "There is no God," he killed a Roman ruler because he wouldn't give glory to God. That day, they said that worms ate him alive. All because he held glory from God and wouldn't give thanks to God for what God had done. So when we trust in things other than God, they start denying that they're, "Well, my gun's my protector." That's real fine and dandy until you miss. "Well, I never miss." Hogwash. Everybody misses. And I can promise you this much. When somebody's coming at you with a gun, it's a lot different than a deer walking down the woods that you just ambushed. I know, I hunt deer. Another man hunting you is a totally different deal. Your body will react totally different. That's why I never got concerned about guys that came off our rifle ranges with experts. We didn't miss. Yeah, but you weren't running for your life either. It's not a true world scenario. So you can't trust in your ability to shoot a gun. You can't trust in your ability to fight. You cannot trust in your bank account to be there. As I said, it's all basically imaginary. They just keep printing it. The deed to your land. But you know what? Here's the sad part. We are so fat and comfortable in this country, trusting in our Constitution, which I love. We forgot to stand up for what it means. "Well, I'm not going to give that up. The government will come take my property. I don't want my children to live in a world where the government can just walk in and take things. I'm going to trust my God and do what he says to do." And I'm just going to put a stop right there for just a moment. I'm not trying to rile up anybody to go join some sort of anti-government thing to overrun the government. My Bible says to pray for them. I'm trying to get you to get your trust out of the things and trust God. What does God say? He said, "Just trust me. Have faith. Believe me." And if you can't do that, your faith is in the wrong things. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man returns to the earth, will he truly find faith?" We're not talking about the ability to cast out demons and pray for people and they recover. We're talking about real trust in him. How did you walk your life? "Well, God, you told me to do this, but I just couldn't part with that." That's exactly what the rich young ruler said. He said, "I can't part from my properties, from my bank accounts." And Jesus turned around and he said, if only he had really known that those who give these things up now will not only receive them over and above what they can imagine because they gave them up, but they will receive so much more in the afterlife, in eternal life. When God tells us to do something, we got to do it. God has told me to give away a couple cars. I've done it. I would rather be obedient to God and say, you know what? It's yours. But our trust should be always in Him. I don't remember what day it was. I was sharing with Angela. You know, I said, you know, I sit and I look at how God has been moving. As we trusted Him, He just opens opportunities. He opens doors. It's our responsibility to walk through them. He will not push us. He will not pull us. He says, the door's open. Walk through it. Is it uncomfortable? I promise you it is. It's uncomfortable when there's a change in your life that you've got to implement. But God says, trust me. We moved back from North Carolina. God said, trust me. We trusted Him. I'm like, Lord, I don't have a job. We said, we will trust You. We will go. I had talked to two different people. One to work over here at HPM. The other one to work at Flexible. Everybody just kept telling me what I needed to do. I never messed with HPM. But I did get my name and number to Flexible. 2 days before I was to move, I got a phone call. And they said, can you come in for an interview? I said, I'll be in Ohio on Thursday. I made my appointment. By the way, folks, it was to work in a paint shop. I was a diesel mechanic, not a painter. But I put on my application that I had been working in a, and I had been working in a custom body shop. We were doing some weird things to cars. You know, doors that go up like this and fancy schmancy things. And I had been tasked with priming things. So I had been priming a motorcycle tank, one thing. This guy wanted his bike to be a show bike, and I primed that tank, sanded it, primed it, wet sanded it until it was perfectly smooth. And I put that on my application, and the head honcho, Don Fulmer, he's looking at it, and he says, oh, it says here your last job is working. And I said, yes, sir. And then he looks down, and he looks at it, and he says, oh, you're a Marine, huh? And I said, yes, sir. He was a captain in Vietnam in the Army. And he looks at it and he says, well, you're a Marine. You'll figure it out. I'm thinking, you do remember what Marines, the acronym stands for, right? I'm going to slam the Marine Corps here in a second. Muscles are required. Intelligence not expected. We aren't known for being the smartest. But then again, if we were the smartest, we wouldn't do what we have to do. Because sometimes your intelligence gets in the way of what you got to do. But anyhow, God made an opportunity just like that. That when I got out of the Marine Corps, I had a job. The guy says, oh, you can make $13 an hour. I'm like, woohoo! Because I'd been making like $1.75 an hour. And when I got my first paycheck, it didn't balance out. And he's like, oh, apparently I spoke wrong. You can only make $5 an hour. I held on because I wanted to show her I wasn't just going to quit. And God opened some other opportunities after hours worked. The one guy, I moved some furniture for him. No problem. He hands us both $80 for 2 hours work. I was like, whoa. And now I owe you all an apology. I owe America an apology. He was a telemarketing business. I moved all their phones, their desks, everything in that night. So if you've been telemarketed, I might have had something to do with that. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness.
Did I give you more than that, Chase? Okay, here we are. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. When we trust him, that means we don't have a fallback. You don't have a fallback. That's trusting God. When I, back in 2000, when I decided to start a home improvement business, I was working a little bit in a factory and then was trying to do work outside. And honestly, it was killing me, especially when, you know, she first had Jesse and all that. When I finally knew that it was time to quit, I quit. And I need everybody to understand, she did not have a job. And I was walking on, okay, do I have a job coming up? And I'll be honest with you, I had a job lined up to do. It was going to be my biggest one, one of my biggest ones at that point. And, well, HPM started floundering and so the guy gave it to his dad to do the job. I'm sitting here thinking, I was kind of counting on that next month, but it was not to be. And so that month, it got real lean. We made a little bit of money, got behind on a few things. We kept trusting God. We kept honoring God. We tithed on what we had coming in. Following month, we ran into an old friend from church and school and told him what I was doing. And he said, I'm going to give your number to so-and-so. They need somebody to do that kind of work. I got a call a couple weeks later from the guy. And here's to tell you how God works. He says, what do you charge per hour? I told him. He said, you need to rethink that and bring it up. I said, excuse me? He said, you're too cheap. Being in business now, I was still even cheap when I brought it up because I understand what he was talking about. I hadn't paid taxes yet. When you're paying all of your own taxes, you'll understand why people that are in business don't like taxes. You're 7.5% versus their 15%. So I started learning that. But God led me to a man who told me to bring my rate up. I brought my rate up. He said, now, are you willing to travel anywhere in the state of Ohio? I said, I'll go wherever I got to. I said, this is how I make my living. And so I started traveling all over a lot of the state and doing some commercial work. And then I got in with another commercial person. And so it was between the two of them. And I, at that point, never went without a job. Because we trusted God. People said, how many times did, you know, advertising you had to, no. I advertised, what, 3 times in 7 years? I always had a job. I would finish one and somebody would call me. And that's the way it worked. And God kept it going. So when I say trust God, I'm not telling you something we haven't done. When he told us to start this church, we didn't know how to do it. All I knew is God said to do something, we needed to do it. I didn't ask how, didn't ask why. I didn't want to do it. But I trusted him, and he has been faithful. So every time he says to do something, I do it. He says jump, I don't ask how high, I just jump. You just do it. Nike can go around and make millions of dollars off of that stupid slogan. The body of Christ, well, we need to know where we're going, why we're going. I didn't want to come back to Ohio. Listen, I could deal with the mosquitoes. There's mosquitoes here. I can deal with the humidity. There was humidity there and here. What I couldn't deal with was disobeying God. But you see, if we had listened to the mammon, the first thing we had done is we wouldn't have moved when she was 6 months pregnant. Because we had all of her health. The baby was paid for. Everything. The delivery, it was all paid for. But when I left the state of North Carolina, it was no longer paid for, and now it's a pre-existing condition that my insurance did not cover. So we continued, we paid. We got set up on a plan with the hospital. We kept paying, we kept paying, we kept paying. And then one day, I told her, I said, have you gotten a bill from the hospital lately? She says, no. So I called down there. I even went down to the hospital. I had, at that point, come to meet somebody who worked in there, in that office. And I said, hey, I haven't received my bill. They went in looking and looked at my information, and they said, well, there's a real good reason. Your account doesn't exist anymore. God cleared it. I don't care how, and I don't care who he used. I'm not going back. I don't look a gift horse in the face, or in the mouth, as it were. You say I don't owe you? You're sure. Positive. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day. Get my butt out of there. You know, it's kind of like you got out of jail. Who bailed me? It doesn't matter who bailed you out of jail. You get out of there and you run. I wouldn't recommend running from jail, but they might come pick you back up. Okay, why is he running? Psalm. Did I already do? Yeah. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. This is David when his friends and people around him are turning against him. Nations are coming against him to kill him. And he says, I will put my trust in you, O Lord. I do not put, listen, we're talking about David here. One, he didn't say, well, I trust in my musical ability. You know, I'll be able to provide for myself. Or I trust in my sword. I trust in my slingshot. You know, I did kill the biggest man in the region. He didn't ever once say that. Even in the 23rd Psalm, he said, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In other words, I trust in you, Lord, that you are there. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What we think is wisdom sometimes is totally the opposite. It is not wise to fall back and trusting on our own ability. If you've got an ability, you got it from God. Yeah, you may have had to develop it. If you can play an instrument, I promise you, you had to develop it. If you're an artist, you had to develop that gift. If you're a poet, you had to start developing it. I promise you, your first poem and your latest will not be even close to the same. Over time, you get better as you gain more confidence. There's nothing wrong with, by the way, of having confidence in your abilities. But recognizing that your abilities come from God. And when you recognize that, God will continue using you in your abilities. But when you become too big for your britches and say, well, hey, I'm my own source, may I remind you of an angel named Lucifer? See, he walked, the Bible says he walked in hot coals before the Lord. He was an instrument himself. You think we got praise and worship going on when Lucifer was walking before the Lord, presenting praise to God. Every step he took, there were wonderful, unimaginable notes coming from him. And maybe one day, one of the other archangels came up and said, Lucifer, great job, man. You did good before the Lord today. And he starts saying, yeah, I did, didn't I? I did this. not realizing that he's merely a reflector of the glory of God. And he was reflecting the glory of God. Because when he quit reflecting the glory of God is when he fell. See, and that's us. I don't care how big in ministry you get. When you get to that point where you say, this is me. No. I look around and I say, dear Lord, thank you. Because I know it's not me. It's you. I've always been able to get up and speak in front of people a little bit, but I'll be honest with you, it was nothing I liked doing. I could do it. I could override the fear. But standing up in front of people, talking without notes, 15 years ago, I'd have told you were nuts. Lord, I need every word I'm going to say written out. As I was explaining to Cindy the other day, I said, when we started this church, I would sit up all Saturday night until about 2 in the morning, writing out every note, every point, everything, every word I was going to say, and that's what I used, verbatim. I said, and here today, God only sometimes lets me get by with a sticky. And yes, I realize I go down rabbit trails. If you don't get the rabbit, that's a problem. But I think we usually get the rabbit. Because there's so many things that involve in our life. How can you focus on one of them? Well, I need to focus right here and stay on here when reality, right now is a good time to talk about this. See, I'm on one now. But we have got to put our trust in the Lord. Not in things. Not in this building. Not in our government. My trust, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what militia group, what group is rising up. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, and this. You can't get them together and agree to the same thing. Everybody's got their own idea on how something should be done. And here's the scary part is, it's all the guys that go out and they play paintball on the weekends that think that they're the big bad Rambos of the world. I play paintball every week and my team ain't never been defeated. Getting hit by a paintball is a lot different than a 7.62 hollow point. Instead of a bruising, you're going to have a hole. Even military leaders differ on how they do that. It's why we have the different branches. Did you know the Air Force will not support the Marine Corps? That's why we have our own Air Force, so to speak. We have our own air wing. And the reason being is the Marine Corps wants their pilots to fly treetop height. They want you to be able to see the whites of their eyes. Even during World War II, the Navy pilots wouldn't fly as low as the Marines did. But the Marine pilots got down there where they could take out the enemy and not hit their own. That's why the Marine Corps has its own air wing. Because the Air Force has said, well, they'll bomb for us way up here. But they said, we're not getting down there low like you guys do. You're nuts. And insanity helps a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I don't think I put this next one on there. John chapter 14. When I don't want to get there in a hurry. And I believe it's verse 30. Oh, I did put it up there. I didn't realize I'd put it on the notes. All right, I'll read it off of there because I don't want to put my glasses on. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. Let me kind of, like I said, transliteration's a little different. 1611's a lot different than 2016. The ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing on me. He has no place in me. He can't come along and say, you trusted in me. Even Jesus Christ had to put his faith as a man totally on God. He trusted God to provide food. Listen, there's a scripture where people wanted to follow him, and he said, the birds of the air have their nests, and the fox have their dens, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And people just, they automatically go, oh, poor Jesus, he had to sleep. I promise you, Jesus never slept without a bed. Let me tell you why, because his trust was in God. He went into towns and people said, please come, stay at my house. There's even one man, he went to him and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house tonight. And I'm going to mind you, Zacchaeus didn't own a little fishing shack there on the Jordan. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. Jesus slept on probably down mattress, maybe even with a down pillow. God took care of him. And you need to understand who you are. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In other words, you are a brother or a sister. If God would do that for Jesus, he'll do it for you. I don't care how big your bank account is. One clerical error. Well, I don't want to take the chance. I know what God told me to do. Your trust is still in your account, isn't it? Your trust isn't in God. And you'll know when it's God. Because a lot of times, in my opinion, God asks you to do crazy things. God has once yet to ask me to do something normal. God, you know, that's real easy to do. I can do that. Lord, I'll gladly run the soundboard. I'll gladly sweep the floors. No. He wouldn't do that. He says, no, I want you to start a church. Lord, I'm happy down here in my church in North Carolina. I love these people. They've taught me what a church family is. So you can thank that church for the way we are. We had blacks, we had whites, we had Koreans, Vietnamese, Japanese. And we were talked about by every denominational church in that county. Because we had all those different people. We had blacks marrying whites. And I know even up in here somewhere that's still a little bit of a sore spot, but get over it. We knew we had found something special. We didn't want to leave it. But I'm standing here telling you today we found something even greater. Our own family. And if doing something a little crazy is what it does, is what it means to get that, then sometimes you got to do it. I mean, Rob and Katie wanted to move to a totally different state and they couldn't sell their house and couldn't sell their house. Finally, they said, okay, God, we'll move to Ohio. How many days was it? 4 days. House was sold. Yeah. You just got to get in line with what God wants. And he will take care of you. Because I know God has blessed them, took care of them. And I'm not going to sit here and say that their life has just been one big cakewalk. There ain't nobody in here whose life is one big cakewalk. But what happens when you trust God, the things that used to get you all wound up and stressed out don't get you anymore. Well, we ain't got no food. I talked to a minister over at Pastor Dosek's one time, and he said he was ministering in a church that decided to start cutting his pay and all, you know, it was a denomination, and they said, you know, we don't have any money to give you. And he said, my family is starving. We have no food. That their denomination wouldn't do anything to help them. And he said, we kept on. We held on because he says, I knew the call God had on me was to minister to those people. He said, I continued standing and trusting God. Meanwhile, a county away, God was dealing with another family to go to their their pantry and their cupboards and take bags and start filling them with groceries. Go to the freezer, pulled out meat. They took, I forget how many bags of groceries, and they showed up at his house at nearly midnight, knocked on the door, said, "Here." And he told him, he said, "Thank you." Because he said, he told me, he said, "I had been praying at that very hour. Because I was ready to walk away from that church. They weren't going to do what needed to be done." He said, "Nobody was tithing. Nobody was giving offerings. Everybody suddenly went, phew." And I'm going to tell you right now, it's the wrong thing to do. We think that tight times are the times to and quit giving to God and doing what God says. Mm-mm. That's why the Bible tells us that Isaac sowed in a time of famine and drought, and he reaped 100-fold. That's why I'll tell you, if you're in financial straits and you got problems, one, if you're not tithing, start. You start tithing faithfully, watch what God does. Because he's the one that said, "Try me." And in my opinion, that's a double dog dare. But he told me how much that ministered to him of God's goodness. That this family would do something crazy at midnight. Most of you in here don't even know when midnight comes and goes, because you've been asleep for hours. And I know this family, and one of them in particular, was usually that way. But God woke them up and said, "Go get groceries out of your pantry and take it to this pastor." He's still ministering. But he was going to quit. But you see, when we learn to trust God, God moves. "Oh, God, nobody knows our problems. Nobody." Listen, we've not gone out and broadcasted when we were hurting. But God always showed up. He always did. Always has and always will. We've learned to trust him. When we'd gone through our most difficult time, we told people afterwards. People are like, "We didn't know." I said, "I know you didn't know, because we weren't going to go telling everybody to get pity." And I don't know, maybe there was just a hair bit of pride. I eventually swallowed that and got rid of it. But I learned to trust God in it. We didn't trust the God of this world, who's doing nothing but saying, "You're naked. You hate them." He's accusing. But that's the God we seem to want to serve. "I'll make you rich." I started sharing something with Jesse the other day. It has nothing to do with breaking in buildings or anything, so you're all cool. But I was thinking about police maneuvers and stuff on the road, because the state patrol was down over at Mid-Ohio, and I think they were running some things. And I told Jesse, I said, I got to thinking about that. I said, you know, if I was stupid enough to be chased by the cops, I told him what I would do. He looked over and he says, "Man, it's good you're saved." Because when I told him, he said, "That will work." See, if I rely on what I'm gifted in naturally, it's not a good thing. I can promise you, I know my family roots. They are not good. They've got experience running from cops. Federals even. Usually a little moonshine had something to do with it, but but I'm just saying, folks, if we rely on our own abilities, that's what we get. We trust in God. God's mercy. God's love. That's, by the way, God's love is called charity. "I ain't taking charity." Well, starve, you moron. God tells people to do things for a reason. It's called, by the way, the word charity is, my Bible doesn't even mention charity. I think King James does. But my Bible just went ahead and put it where it belonged, love. No, I don't do this because I feel sorry for you. I do it because I love you. God told me to do this. So if somebody does something for you, it's because God loves you. And by the way, that's what families do. Right? Last time I checked, it was, or supposed to. So, from this point on, I don't want you worrying and listening to what the devil has to say. The God of this world has nothing on you. You've been redeemed. If your trust is in God, don't worry. I mean, the devil, he likes to just, you know, crawl up there and start talking in your ear a little bit. Oh, the situations in the world. Oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, and the Marine in me knows what he wants to do. But see, that Marine, for most of his Marine career, had nobody but himself to worry about. I have a family. And, and Angela and I were talking the other day, and I said, if it comes down to it, I said, if I can't hold them off, and God can't hold them off, they can take me. Shoot me. We'll line up for you. Because my God is greater than all the cockamamie garbage that's going on in this world right now. Folks, I don't have to tell you how screwed up things are. All you got to do is look at the news. I look at the news, I think, are you, you're kidding me, right? Where do we live that people don't know which bathroom to go to? And then if I say something, I'm a bigot. But I will say this. If my wife goes in the restroom and I see a guy follow her, guess who's going in? And I can promise you, it will not end well. But I do have to say this. I understand why these dads have had to do it, because they were single dads and had their daughters. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. You go in the restroom and the guy's got his daughter in there. And it's like, dude, get her inside the thing, because most of these urinals do not have partitions. It's a little awkward. I guess I ended last week on this subject too, didn't I? Yes, it is. And it's a topic that should never have happened. But this is what's happening in our world. When we're listening, when we care more what Bruce Springsteen and some other morons think, well, we're not going to go to that state. Whoop, whoop, whoo! Please feel free not to come to mine either. Because Born in the USA is not a patriotic song. It's an anti-war song, which I'm not pro-war. But we care too much about what people think. Listen, I will pray in the name of Jesus. I will speak the name of the Lord my God. They forbade the disciples. Really, I'm considering myself in good company now. When they say, you can't say Jesus. What are they gonna... Here's my question. What are they really gonna do to you? Throw you in prison. Woohoo! God has a jailbreak system. You get in there, you start singing songs and you praise His name, He'll cause an earthquake. He's got angels that know how to walk right through them bars with the keys. Click, click, go. We're worried about that. That's what we're worried about. We're worried about losing our things. We're worried about losing... Listen, your freedoms are something that can be taken. And that's the problem with today. Everybody's afraid of losing things. You're losing the most important thing because we don't trust in God. Well, if I make a stand, you know, Pastor, it's going to cause waves. How about we rock the boat? Let's get that boat rocking. I'd rather be the one rocking the boat than the other ding-dong in there trying to hold on. Because if you're rocking the boat, you're the one controlling it. You go with it. I know I've rocked a few boats. Never sunk one. tried to. I'm just telling you, we're worried about the wrong things. We're serving mammon. Our trust is in all these things. Our trust is in the Constitution. It honestly is a piece of paper that some men who were listening to God decided, let's write this. Our country, our leaders do not listen to God. If they did, we wouldn't be in the situations we're sitting in. The United States would never have backed off from Israel. We would be standing up to Vladimir Putin. I know we can't, and we can't afford a war. He knows it. Another war would break this country on that magnitude. ISIS, come on, seriously? If we had godly men and women in the office, ISIS would be a grease spot in the desert. That's all there is to it. If we had men who trusted in God, who said it, I trust God, and they proved it. Church can't sit here and say, well, you know, we're a church. We got rights. We got rights. Not if they say so. We'll all have to meet in my barn. It's big enough. Y'all have to sit on hay bales. That's right. I'm not trying to think of the worst, or I'm not a prepper. I don't even put anything aside. I'm like, you know what? First off, as soon as everybody finds out I got food, you know where they're heading, right? Because I know a few people have got fuel and all that stuff stored, and I said, really? When it comes down to it, when the rubber hits the road, I know where there's fuel, I know where there's water, and I know where there's food. If I had to. And that's what everybody else says, you know, I'm just going to trust God. Elijah did. He had a bird bringing him bread. That bird was probably stealing that bread from Jezebel's plate every day. She'd come out there, what? The bird done took off with my bread. Sorry, my queen, we have no more bread. The bird keeps stealing it. We don't know where he's going with it. And God had that bird going and taking that bread to Elijah. Who knows? He got it from somewhere. Oh no, God just makes things happen. On a few occasions he has done things, but most of the time he uses something here. All right, let's stand. But in all the things going on in this world, folks, we do not have to worry. We trust in God. We continue living life. We continue loving people. And that's how God moves. When we get scared and we go hiding ourselves in a fortress, we've lost. We need to just trust God. Well, we have fellowship after service here. I will bless the food. And we also have war on the floor today. You know, again, we come together, we pray, we bless our nation, we pray for our leaders. We pray for the requests in the church. You know, and we share the good things God has done. So, you know, it's a good time. We were explaining the other day, we used to do it for an hour. We felt that was kind of the deal. And over time, God has said, you don't have to pray for the hour. Pray. Requests to come in, that's pray. Listen, there have been a couple times, it wasn't even 10 minutes. But you know what? Because we trust in God, God still moved. Didn't matter, we didn't pray for an hour. Man, if God says be here 2 hours praying, we'll be here 2 hours praying. You got to go, you got to go. I just know when we trust God and do what He says to do, we're blessed. And you know what the devil hates about that? He can't take it. He can never come back and take that away from you. All right, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your mercies, Lord. And Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are our God. You are Jehovah. Lord, you are Yahweh. You are our Redeemer. You are our friend. You are our fortress. Lord, we put our trust in you today, Lord God. We declare our trust is not in mammon. Our trust is in the Lord God. So, Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, help us to walk closer and tighter and trust you with everything and everyone in our life. And now, Father, we thank you for the time of fellowship after service. I bless it, Lord. I thank you for the food. I thank you for every person who's brought food in. We pray that you bless them for blessing us. And now, Lord God, I bless these people. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you move in their lives. Give them wisdom. Give them unconventional wisdom. Give them hope and courage and strength to do and be what you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.